Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm picking up good vibration. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up good vibration. She's giving me the excitation. Good vibration.
Good morning or good evening, everybody. Welcome to Positive Living Vibrations and Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas and Joy of the Season to you all. We are going to have a wonderful talk today on special foods and also drinks for the season. I have hosted many a party, many a dinner party, big soirees and to intimate dinners. I love hosting. I love setting the environment, planning the food, seeing the people happy, full, and relaxed. It takes a lot of work, and I am never relaxed myself until the coffee and the desserts have been served. To see people go home, jolly, full bellies, and remember it fondly. The next day is always very, very gratifying. People wanting to come back to your parties because they enjoyed the last one is always a very good experience. I believe that we need to live in our senses, all of our senses. Taste, touch, see, hear, tell. I believe that we need to tap into them all because it's what makes us so alive. When we host a party, we're trying to create those sensory moments for people. We're trying to set them on alive. We want them to taste something special on their lips. The nectar of the drink sliding down their throat. Seeing the energy grow around you, the feel of a friendly touch. All of these things combined awaken us and make us feel alive. A party is not a place to go and get drunk, stuff food down your throat, or to be rude to another. It is a place of coming together in gratitude, excitement, anticipation, trust, and love. So, let's feed the senses with exotic foods and drinks and spice up that event with awakening those senses. I have two guests on here today. One of them is my daughter. She works over at the Drake Hotel at Toronto, and she's going to share some drink ideas with us. The other is Tina Maria Bernard. And she is more of actually a sensual sexual coach, but she's going to show us how we can serve food with a difference. We want people to remember our parties. We want to awaken them up that they go home buzzing. And so this show tonight is about doing something different. I believe that I have Tina here, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tina before bringing her on. Tina Marie is going to tell us what foods and settings will bring out your true sensual side this season. Tina Marie Barnard is a natural intimacy empowerment mentor who helps women transform their sexual wounds into wellness. Her mission is to inspire others to go from burnout to vivacious by embracing a natural, healthy, intuitive lifestyle. She's a frequent radio show host, or guest, I should say, sought-after speaker and coach. Tina has written hundreds of articles and helped thousands transform intimacies inspired by nature. Provocative, sensitive, transparent, she candidly explores the connections between vitality, sensuality, love, and food. So are you there, Tina?
I am.
How are you doing, my dear?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for that introduction. Wow.
We've got to waken people up here.
Yeah, if they aren't curious and if they're not a little bit excited by now, you know, we'll have them in that place by the end of the show, I'm sure.
Yes, we will. Most certainly we will. So, Tina, how about you just tell everybody a little bit about you?
Well, thank you. Yes, I am a natural intimacy empowerment coach, and a lot of my work is all rooted in helping people. I work mostly with women, but a lot of men have been seeking out to talk to me about what I do, helping them connect back to nature, to their sensuality, to looking at the myths and stories that hold them back from fully exploring sort of their natural sensual selves, and then unpacking that baggage and then replacing it with something new and vital and delicious and bodacious. So my experience is that most people have some kind of sexual wound or story that's holding them back in their relationship. I work primarily with couples, too. And if they can kind of look that in the face, square on, and see that it's just a story, not really their truth, then they can go from that place to a place where they're really showing up in their full sensual selves with their partner, so they can have more meaningful sexual intimacy. They can enjoy life. They have more pleasure. They can, you know, use their fantasies and their sort of inner flirt to create a more meaningful connection to their partner. And food is a big part of the story, part of the journey of healing.
Yeah, I mean, life is about feeling, isn't it? And I think we're now entering into a new era of feeling. And, you know, we're, as they say, this new era is of heart, this crossing over, mm-hmm. this new realm that we're going into. And, you know, people who maybe not have felt before are actually going to be finding that their senses are waking up. You know, things are going to taste different. Things are going to feel different. We're going to see differently. And everything about us is just going to be more awake. So, you know, I mean, this is what it's all about, isn't it? Coming alive. And we want to, you know, bring a little coming alive to everybody in this Christmas season, especially as we're looking at the Mayan calendar on the 23rd, you know, the solstice. Everything about us is going to be woken up, so we may as well get all those senses going and waking ourselves up with, you know, a little food and things like that. We're waiting for Tabitha to come on. Unfortunately, she hasn't come on yet, so we're having a little problem getting her. So I'm going to have you go first, Tina. How about you share with us, you know, a few, I really had wanted Tabitha to, of course, listen in on this so that she can actually talk to the drinks, to the food you're talking about, but maybe just kind of give us the setting in which to set up a party or an event. You know, before we kind of get into the foods, kind of give us a setting, the atmosphere, the ambiance that we want to set.
Excellent question. Now, I will say that I've always been a foodie, even before I even knew what that word was, because I love entertaining. I love the idea of creating delicious flavors for people to enjoy, whether the party is for just 2 or 20 or more. Entertainment for me is an act, a sharing of love and joy and inviting people to your into your life and to for celebration. And so the important thing with the setting for me is to start with an attitude of love and compassion and expansiveness to say, come into my home. And I love to create a setting with lighting, playing with the lighting, candles, etc., music, having your home, you know, comfortable and the temperature is warm. All of it is about, on a subtle level, maybe not even one that we are conscious of, but on a subtle level of creating sensation, of creating warmth, invitation, joy, an opportunity to entertain and be enchanted by the company and the quality of the conversation. And so food, if you, you know, I'm going to just go back in the days when I was in grad school. I remember learning about, you know, our how our senses operated. And there was always this emphasis that we had what we had biologically designed because we were meant to survive and pass on our genetic code. And I look at that a little differently now in my role as an intimacy coach. I really see our bodies primed for pleasure. Our senses aren't there to detect. They're not there to detect the big bear in the woods that's going to chase us, you know, chase us and grab us and eat us for lunch. No, our senses are there for us to really soak in and fight in this beautiful world that we have. The flavors, the sights, the smells, the sounds. So when we reframe our relationship to the world around us and to ourselves, that includes reframing our relationship to food. So when it comes to holiday entertainment, the idea first is to create a setting that touches on the senses. What kind of music are you going to let your audience listen to? What's the fire going to be? Are you going to have a fire going? Candlelight, aromas. I use a lot of essential oils. I don't use candles that are, you know, made with petrochemicals per se. I like
exactly.
to use natural.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I use, like, you know, beeswax-based candles, and I have essential oils that I like to burn. I use them on my body for perfume. And so this is really, and I do this from this place of deep passion and joy for life. It's not just sexual energy per se. It's about really connecting and having fun at that connection. You know, the relationships are what's so important. And like you said, we're waking up, realizing it's the relationship between us and the other that needs to be cultivated. So when it comes to foods, I like things that go pop. I like things that go wow. I like things that make people just, you know, foods that even drip out of the mouth and you laugh because it tastes so good. And it's maybe a little messy, or it's unique and it's different and crunchy. And of course, friends of mine and family who come to my home for entertainment realize the work I do, there's always going to be sort of innuendo in what I prepare. You know, if I'm having couples over, they can rest assured that what I'm preparing, you know, I prepare with sensuality and sexual health in mind, bottom line. Mm-hmm. So I'll be sharing some of my favorite recipes.
Right. And, you know, I think there's something else that we need to take into consideration here is that as a hostess, we set the atmosphere. It doesn't matter how beautifully we've got it laid out. If we're looking frazzled, you know, uptight, tense or anything else, you know, it can completely shatter the whole atmosphere. So it's very, very important that we actually make sure that, you know, beforehand, you know, we've done our breathing, maybe a little tapping, and, you know, if I like to actually have a drink myself just before, because I'm not going to be drinking much in that first bit. You know, I'm preparing. So I like to get myself, you know, doing it, relaxing, have a drink, and then I take those deep breaths, wear something comfortable, you know, beautiful but comfortable because I'm working, and so that when people do come through the door, I'm ready, you know, and relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree, absolutely. One of the things, this is so subtle, the changes that I've made in my life aren't so out of the reach for the ordinary person to bring into their own lives. And so a lot of times when I'm working with clients, couples, or individuals, they're sort of surprised, and yet they see the power of these simple shifts. One of the things I've done differently in my life now is when I greet somebody, I hug them heart to heart. And so I make sure that it's my left cheek that touches their left cheek. And this is a little opposite. I'm sharing this specifically because when you're greeting your guest, most people hug the opposite way. Well, I'm wanting to energetically hug and welcome my guest. So I actually hug the other way. And it's kind of funny. I've trained all of my friends to hug the heart-to-heart chakra.
Right.
And, you know, it's a subtle shift, but when I hug my children or I welcome my spouse home or I give him an embrace, I hug heart-to-heart left side. And people, you know, at first are like, oh, what are you doing? And I said, because I want my heart chakra to touch your heart chakra, and that's how you do this. And so when your guests come in, these little subtle things create subtle shifts underneath the surface to build that intimacy, to build that connectivity. The relationship between us is what matters. So much less than you know, yes, it's wonderful to serve great food that tastes wonderful, but what are we doing to create not just pageantry, but the passion and connection to one another?
Yes, yes, definitely. I was actually, you know, told the other day I was watching something, and it was actually talking about when you're hugging somebody, make sure that it's chest to chest, and that and that you actually touch the arms at the back, kind of like where the bra area is, and actually, you know, hug somebody that way because that's where you're actually meeting in a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we're having a little bit of problem here. Tina and Marie, do you mind if I throw this over to you for a couple of moments while we try and get Tabitha online here? And can I throw it over to you for a couple of moments and just talk a little bit about your work also, how people can get hold of you while we try and get Tabitha here online?
Absolutely. So,
and we'll be right back at you, darling.
And not a problem. I'm happy to do that. So what I do is my program is actually called Vitalize Your Libido Naturally. And that I work primarily with couples usually the woman is the one who contacts me, but I love working with couples. And the goal is to create deeper intimacy. So my specialty is to help people unpack sexual wounds that come in the form of blame or shame or anxiety or trepidation, to look at those and turn it around so the person can experience more pleasure, feel more sensual in their body, love the skin that they're in, and really feed their skin hunger. We look at toxins in their environment and in their mental space that are interfering with their ability to experience that pleasure and connectivity. I also work with them to feed their libido naturally. What kind of foods and spices can they bring into their home that create more flavor and savoring in the tongue? And also look at what foods they're eating that might be counterproductive to overall well-being, vitality, and sexual experience and joy. I'll get into this, some of the recipes later on, but one of the things I encourage people is to eat more raw foods, more real foods, and more colorful foods. And when I'm working with someone and talking about foods to choose for sexual health and an attitude towards food that is about sexual health, they're often thinking that I'm going to be trying to give foods that are going to, you know, feed specifically the genitals. And actually, that's not the case. I want them to feed their brain and their heart. Those are your two very important organs to have at optimal health in order to experience optimal sexual connection and joy. So it's fun to work with people to get them into this place where they're having better sex naturally, where they're using their sort of secret erotic self to bring more creativity into the bedroom and into their lives. And when you start to harness your sexual energy, you see it as part of your creativity, you see it as part of your sensuality, you realize it's not just about sex. It's about how we show up in the world. And can we flip our switch and experience more pleasure and, you know, smell the fragrance in the flowers and just inhale it like you would a child. See the world with new believing eyes. Be able to connect to your partner, whether you've been in a relationship for a short amount of time or a long time, in more meaningful ways. How do we transcend the ordinary? How do we look at, go from burnt out to bodacious? And make living and loving paramount to sort of our everyday lives. So I have bad days like everybody else. What I have been able to do is develop the muscles mentally and physically and sensually to get back in the saddle, to enjoy life again. So when I get, you know, something knocks me off seat, I can get back in there and feel pleasure again and feel happiness again and be more confident in how I show up in the world. One of the other things I work on is helping couples make love organically. So much of what we put on our bodies is actually not so good for our bodies. What we put in our bodies as well. And nowhere does this show up in a more difficult way than in the bedroom. So what do I mean? Let's take hello. One of the things that I found is that a lot of couples need help and guidance with how to choose lubrication or adult toys, and they want to use that and bring that play into their experiences, and they need a little coaching on what to choose and make sure that it's both pleasurable and healthy for them. So my specialty really bridges environmental concerns, but a lot of it's about living more sensually, eating more sensually, loving more sensually, and it's also, there's a lot of spirituality that goes into the work that I do. And I cater it and tailor it to my clients. Depends on where they're at. I meet them where they're at, and I bring them further along into the pleasure spectrum so they can experience what I call more play, pleasure, love, and abundance.
Which is wonderful. And thank you so much for holding the fort here, Frieda. I'm so sorry. It's her first time using Skype to call in, and she's not been able to get through, so that's a bit of a problem. So it's a learning curve for her. Last time I interviewed her, I was actually side by side with her, so it made it a little bit easier. But life is about, right? You know, we'll just go with the flow. So thank you so much for covering there and telling everybody about you, which is a lot that you're doing. And I bet you're finding at the present moment, with everybody going through this change at the present moment, this awakening, that everybody is kind of being more sensory. And you know, people are going through tears, they're having more dreams, and everything about them is being more awakened. Are you finding this with your clients at the moment?
I am. I'm finding people are starting to say yes. The nature of the work I do means that once people first hear about it, there's some pretty strong visceral reactions. And a lot of times people sort of, they're a little shy, give me a little time to digest what it is that I do. Then they see that the container I have created is both sacred and safe, and then they dive in. And so I have a lot of enrollment conversations with clients. You know, it's much different, say, from a business coach who just says, this is what I offer, and they can understand, I need branding or marketing, I get it. When it comes to the nature of intimacy, when it comes to cultivating pleasure in your intimate landscape, there's still a lot of anxiety that people need to go through, and that's part of the process, and I accept that. And what I find afterwards is that my clients feel like they're breathing deeper. They're relieved. There's a sense of, oh, my God, she got it. So I recently worked with a couple who have a great marriage, and they were both shy, and they needed someone to give them the space to be able to explore their sort of wicked, naughty side. So this is a married couple with children. They love one another, but they couldn't have that conversation about, this is what I want to try that's different.
Right.
This
exactly.
is how, you know, and they needed someone to help them, kind of coach them in ways to bring some chocolate into their vanilla world, if I can use that term.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie Tom Jones. It's an old one back from the 60s, and it is quite risque for its time period. But there is a wonderful scene of two people, you know, at an English pub back in the 1800s, and they're eating the food. And, of course, nobody used utensils back then. They picked it up and they ate it, and they're ripping the chicken, and there's grease all over their faces, and they're swilling their drink back, and the way they're looking at each other. And it kind of became quite synonymous with, you know, sensual eating. So, you know, it's kind of, it was an exotic scene for its time, and fun. So finally, I've got Tabitha on the line. So I'm going to do a little intro on Tabitha here and let her talk for a few moments. And then we will get into actually what the drinks and food are for this season. So Tabitha, thank you, my darling, for having you online.
Hello.
Hi. Finally got you here, being cat and mouse here between Skype and calls.
So, yeah, I know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
But we've got you here for now, as long as you don't go anywhere. So, you know, Tabitha is my daughter, and she was born here and bred here in Vancouver, and then went exploring, went traveling. And she did Europe, she did Australia, she did Thailand, Hong Kong, and then on her way home, stopped in Toronto for a month, and that was 4 years later? Four years ago,
yeah.
And she's still there. And her mainstream is at the Drake Hotel, which is a very hot, buzzing hotel. It's where everybody goes to download. And she is a bartender there and specializes in mixing all sorts of exotic drinks. So she is going to come along today and tell us all about what drinks to serve with the food, which we're going to get to in a moment. But, you know, I'm very proud of my daughter because she is really a true free spirit. And, you know, when she gives you a drink, she's going to give it to you with the desire for you to enjoy it. And, you know, she's also an accomplished article writer on hackwriters.com. And she's actually going to be starting a blog with a friend soon on investigating, what is it, fashion, the buzz places to go, music, food, drinks.
Yep, drinks.
Tell us a wee bit about
the blog. Toronto, just like where to go in at our age and like in the weekdays too, because so many people don't know where to go. So it'll be fun. It'll be like from a different perspective of like who to ask for, what drink to have, who's wearing what, where to go, all the like secret spots pretty much.
Great, and which is, you know, really what over the picket fence, everybody likes, you know, reference, you know, where do you go rather than yellow pages. So, and especially coming from people in the age, you're speaking to people at that in that age bracket, which is fabulous. So Tabitha has written a number of articles on, as I said, hackwriters.com. You know, she's a very I love the way you write, because you write, you know, completely
it's a different style for sure.
different style. If you're looking for, you know, state-of-the-art kind of grammar and state stuff, you're not going to get it from Tabitha. She is passion. She writes passion. She lives passion. I was recently up in Toronto with her in May, and as we're walking down the street, people are calling out, "Hi, Tabitha, how are you?" Everywhere she goes, people bump into her. These are people that come to the hotel to drink along there, people that work in the industry. She is just loved wherever she goes, which is a very proud thing for Mama. So, Tabitha, it's Tina Marie, so please meet Tina Marie.
Hello, Tina.
Hi, nice to meet you. I have to say I love your name, and I love the letter it starts with.
No, thanks.
My little tabby.
Sorry?
Atkinson tabby. My little tabby cat.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's get right down to it on foods and drinks. So, Tina Marie, how about you give me some sort of food dish, and then let Tabitha talk to what would be served well with that food.
Wonderful. I've got three ideas that I want to share with your listeners today, and I'm going to start with what is a root salad. Now, what I often will go to a restaurant and I select something I really enjoy, and then I go home and I try to recreate it. So this is a creation of mine based on a restaurant I went to eat at about 6 months ago. And what they did is they took, and this is what I do, I take a variety of root vegetables, raw, and I slice them very thin. And my favorites are red beets, yellow beets, carrots, maybe parsnips, turnips, radish, and I even slice some fennel bulb in there. Very, very, very thin. So peel the root vegetables. And first of all, this is a wonderful salad to serve that's a different compared to, say, you know, your traditional sort of green leaf lettuce. So if you're having people come over for a meal and you want to give them a salad that is colorful and seasonal and unique without it being just the same old ho-hum, you know, lettuce, this would be it. So take these different roots, peel them, and slice them very, very thin, super thin as you can. The red beets and the yellow beets and the sliced radishes and the sliced fennel, which is not a root, but I'd like to put it in there, and the parsnip and the carrot, you sort of lay them on the plate. And all of these different shapes and colors are beautiful, beautiful to the eye. It's very simple. It's more labor-intensive, perhaps, but if you've got a food processor, you can do it quickly. And then the salad dressing that I do, my standard salad dressing, is equal parts olive oil, lemon juice, and raw organic honey. I like to use the raw honey because it's got more enzymes in it, but I use equal parts. So you can use maybe an eighth of a cup of each of those and get yourself about a third of a cup of dressing. That is my stock dressing. And then into it I add different flavors depending on what I'm using it for. So for this root vegetable salad, what I like to put in it is pink salt. Sea salt's fine too, but I like the pink salt. Fresh tarragon, finely chopped, and some white pepper. And then I'll sprinkle that over the root vegetables, which are just laying there. And then on top of that, I will put just some few sort of chunks of blue cheese. So here is this colorful, nutritious salad. It's much different than what the traditional salad is. It's using roots, which are seasonal for this time of year. And people will go ooh and ah. Plus, it's really healthy. And for an intimacy coach, these roots can be very good both for sexual health, and they're packed with a lot of nutrients. So delicious, interesting, unique, and it tastes really good.
And colorful as well. So you've got the visual taste of it as well.
Yes,
so Tabitha,
that sounds
this is
yummy.
A very good drink. I know it does sound yummy, doesn't it? We both love our root vegetables, don't we? So what would you serve with that, Tabitha?
I mean, there's a few, but I was thinking like winter festive, and like, I mean, I was just looking actually at an article of a friend of mine who made a beet daiquiri. So, I mean, it's interesting you said you use that. But I was thinking of a punch that would go with it and open it up because there's so many flavors. And of course, in winter and festive, I think of things like maple syrup or like ginger and things like that. So, there's a punch you can make that's really easy to do. You can use 1.5 ounce of bourbon. You can use any kind, but I think a single barrel, Four Roses, if you can get it at your liquor store, is cheaper, so you can make more.
1 ounce of a ginger liqueur, which is really strong. It's really lovely, but quite sweet as well. You can use King's ginger liqueur or Domaine de Canton. Squeeze 0.5 or 50 ounces of lemon juice. You can just do that with actually like a half lemon if you wanted to. And then you can make your own cinnamon syrup. So that would be a 2-to-1 recipe, super easy to do. 2 cups of sugar to 1 cup of water. Bring it to boil together. Add some cinnamon sticks in it and let that boil and stir and then let it sit later. So that would be like a cinnamon sweet syrup that you would put to it. And if you have them at home, I use vanilla bitters as a drop, but you don't have to do it. And then you could get pear nectar and blend that all together and just splash the pear nectar over top, and that's just a beautiful winter punch that also has a lot of ginger to it and would be nice with that meal, that salad, I think.
Yes, the ginger with the beets and everything else. You've got the warm, you've got the cool, you've got the colorful. Yeah, that's very vibrant. So certainly set people off on the right step of the party. I think people will warm up quite quickly there.
Yes.
That drink sounds wonderful. And I got to tell you, sometimes in that salad, I actually do put sliced apples or sliced pear. The nice thing about the salad, all of my recipes, I'll tell you, you can throw together. I don't use measurements, but I will provide this for people. We'll get this to your listeners somehow. But I'd like recipes that are easy to make on the fly. That are, you know,
totally.
So I love what you just suggested. Delicious. Oh my God, my mouth is watering. What a great comment.
Yeah, I know. We're
going to party together.
Exactly. We're both going to be eating all that we needed to eat after this, that's for sure. Okay, so let's hit another dish, Tina Marie. What else have you got for us?
This is a recipe adapted from a book called Beginnings. Beginnings was written by one of the top chef masters. His name is Chris Costantino, and I love this recipe I found of his, roasted figs. First of all, figs have a long, reputable history as an aphrodisiac food, and they sort of fall into that category. First of all, they're nutritious, but it's also the law of similarities. The sliced fig represents the feminine form, and the texture is also very sensual and luscious. So I love this recipe that I found of his. And it's basically roasted figs with ricotta cheese, seasoned with salt, pepper, olive oil, and fresh rosemary. So if you imagine taking six figs, you can the same kind or different varieties, doing a crisscross on the top, slicing them open, then laying those on a bed of rosemary sprinkled with olive oil, and then the little dollops, like a dollop of ricotta cheese, whole sheep's cheese, ricotta cheese, in the center, salt and pepper, olive oil sprinkled over that and roasting that. Very elegant, very simple, and tasty, seasonal, and sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Roasted fig.
That sounds good. And something you can hand around, so it's kind of a bite. More or less a bite size or a couple of bite size. So a cocktail.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Tabitha, what would we drink with that?
I was thinking through my mind what would be good with figs. That sounds amazing. But I was thinking something light, and then you said it was sexy. So I have a drink that looks sexy that I actually called Tarts and Vickers after Bridget Jones's Diary. It's sweet, but it's dangerous. But it's also got a bitterness to it. So that'd be nice with that dish, I think. Really easy to use. In a flute, just do 1 ounce of gin, any kind of your preference. 1/2 ounce of Saint Germain liqueur, which is an elderflower flavored liqueur, which is really lovely. And then 1/2 ounce of Campari, which is an aperitif Italian liqueur, which is a bit of a orange and bitter flavor. And then you fill the flute with sparkling and just peel the skin off some lemon and zest it with the oils, and it's just really pretty and just tastes delicious, and it's awesome with food.
So you have something kind of a little sparkly with something a little...
Open up, and it's also a palate cleanser with all that stuff, too.
Well, great. Super. Well, this is sounding absolutely delicious. So have we got another one, Tina Marie?
I do. One of my favorite cookbooks is called Intercourses, an Aphrodisiac Cookbook. It's
awesome.
It's all a theme. I have lots of favorite books. This book has been around for a while. I'm just looking at the date. The original book came out in 1997, and the copy I have is from 2003. So it's been around for a while. And They have an asparagus frittata recipe in here that I love. This is something you could serve in, you know, and it, if it's not this asparagus frittata recipe, Google or go through your favorite book and get an asparagus frittata recipe. This is wonderful to serve your on a Christmas or a holiday brunch. You know, so frittata is an egg dish, and they season it in this recipe book with basil, which I love. The basil, fresh basil is so wonderful, that pungent smell. Garlic, great for the heart health, salt and pepper and Parmesan cheese, and olive oil. And you combine the eggs and the basil and the garlic, and you let that sit for a while you trim and steam the asparagus. And then when the eggs have sort of, you know, let that stand for about 30 minutes when all the flavors have seeped in, then you set that, you put that in a skillet and you heat it up. And you pour the ladle full in the pan, make it kind of thin, and then lower the heat, cook it on a medium to low heat, and when it turns opaque, you flip it over and you kiss the other side. So then you have this sort of flat egg frittata pancake. Then what you do is you take the asparagus and the steamed stalks, and then you roll that in this thin frittata, and you can garnish it with some more basil if you'd like. And I just thought, you know, first of all, asparagus is also the law of similarities. The French are said to eat asparagus the day before their wedding. It has wonderful health benefits for the heart and the health and the urinary tract. And so that's what kinds of things. It's also said to have a nice dose of vitamin E, which is supposedly one of the sex vitamin. We need it for hormone production. Mm-hmm. So altogether, I love asparagus. I love it served in all variety of ways, fresh, served in salads, blanched in salads, or something like this frittata. It's just delicious. And it's got elegance to it, elegant vegetable. Eggs are great protein. And this could be a nice holiday brunch meal.
All right. That sounds great. I absolutely love asparagus. I'll take it in any which way it comes. It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tabitha, what have we got to go with that?
Well, my mind was just going because you said brunch, so I was thinking of like a sour, and you said egg whites and maybe basil. So there's a couple easy things you could do that are more traditional. I mean, my cocktails are usually pure spirited, more like prohibition style. The other ones are really complicated, so I'm just going to think of an easy one to go with that. So frozen sour would basically be egg whites, lemon juice, and a couple ounces of bourbon with some simple syrup, like I said, how you make it earlier with the 2-to-1 recipe. And you just shake those up all together, and it's beautiful and foamy and light, and it would just go awesome with the asparagus dish. And then, but when you said basil, there's an easy one. It's a basil smash. It's not mine, but it's super easy. And it looks green, too, after, so it would go with the asparagus. Because you just basically muddle, smash some basil leaf, and then you add 2 ounces of gin and a couple ounces of lemon juice, and again, just like 50 of the simple syrup, and then you just shake that all together and strain it, and it's got the basil flavor in it too, and that'll open up and it's green and pretty and just refreshing.
Sounds like a different alternative to kind of the heavy eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's lighter.
Eggnog as a make it yourself at home, but like a non-alcoholic drink, which is festive.
Oh, well, then let's hear that, Tabitha, because, yes, you know, there's plenty of people. You've got the designated driver. You've got other people that choose not to drink. But, yes, but they want to be part of the season. You know, they don't want to be drinking pop or water. So, you know, something for the non-drinker, please, to share a couple of recipes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll give you the eggnog one just because it's a holiday thing and it's super easy to make at home. Basically, you need 6 large eggs. Separate the yolks from the whites and whisk those in 2 bowls. Have 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and a half teaspoon of nutmeg, and 1/4 cup of cream. And you put those all together in a pot and whisk those together. And then you reduce heat and slowly add the milk. And this might take about 30 to 45 minutes, but you just keep whisking it slowly and keep going back to it, whisk it until it thickens, until you dip your spoon in and it coats it and drips off. And then at that point, you add a tablespoon of vanilla extract. You can add more nutmeg to it or cinnamon if you like, if you want to make it a bit more spicy or whatever. And then just let it sit in the fridge for a bit, and it should be beautiful after that. And, of course, if you want that with alcohol, rum or brandy would be brilliant with it as well. So that's a good one to make. So that makes a few servings, and you could keep it in the fridge for a while. Another one that would be easy and festive was a lemonade that I made a raspberry syrup for, and sometimes people in my bar don't want to drink, and I make this for them, and they like it. So it's quite tart, but also sweet, but I top it with soda to get away from that. So it's lemonade with the raspberry syrup I made. Again, 2-to-1 sugar and water with raspberries on the pot, and then you just make that into a syrup topped with soda, and it's a really lovely, refreshing drink, and people seem to like it. It's pretty.
Wonderful.
I love that. When I was pregnant with both my kids, I craved lemonade with soda water.
Interesting.
Well, the soda water, yeah, it's really, really good for the nausea and for the stomach. So, yeah, that makes sense, definitely. You know, let's get away a little bit from kind of the cocktails of this or that, is that, you know, we're sitting down at the table, we're maybe doing what a lot of us do when we're going to someone's for dinner, we're going to bring a dish. And, you know, generally the host takes care of, you know, of the turkey because it's the heavy duty something, and then people bring the vegetables or the dessert. And, you know, one thing that's absolutely lovely at a Christmas dinner is cranberries. So has anybody got any ideas of how we can actually make those cranberries that are different and make them stand out?
Well, first of all, I will say cranberries are a wonderful food for your health. I mean, there's no doubt about it. A couple of caveats. A lot of times cranberry juice is sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, at least here in the States. So when I'm looking for cranberries or cranberry juice, I want to make sure that their ingredients are far away from anything like that. So I prefer, you know, cane sugar sweetened juices or grape juice sweetened juices when I'm going to do cranberry juice. But going back to cranberries, I think, you know, the standby is the cranberry sauce. And one of the things that my family does, my mom makes it sometimes, she will put either orange in it, orange zest, or she'll put walnuts and chopped little walnuts in there. And I just think that's delicious. I could eat cranberry sauce all year round. In fact, when I was living overseas, I lived both in Europe and the Middle East. I saw cranberry chutney one time, and I bought myself several jars of it just because I wanted to make sure I had it. So, I don't know about using it outside of either drinking it in a drink or on the sauce, but I think those are tried and true, delicious contributions to any holiday meal.
I actually make my cranberries with an orange juice and maybe add a little honey, or if you've got some syrup, maple syrup or something in there to sweeten it up instead of sugar, and mix it with the orange juice. And, because I think cranberries are very tart, so you do need to sweeten it up. And I prefer not to sweeten it up with mountains of sugar, so I prefer to go for either maple syrup or some honey and then some orange juice, which adds a nice, you know, balance to it, and actually that makes a really nice cranberry. Have we got any drinks with cranberry juice, Tabitha, just to throw in there?
I haven't myself made any, but of course everyone knows the ever-popular, like, Cosmo from Sex and the City, the Cosmopolitan, all those girls drink those, or Crantinis traditionally, but I would like, actually, I just use it as a garnish, because when you muddle it, it's actually quite bitter inside when you muddle it, so I haven't made anything else with it, but cranberry juice is traditional, and the most popular would be the Cosmopolitan for sure. Which is also quite festive for the holidays.
If I'm going out and I don't want to drink anything, because maybe I'm the driver or anything else, I will actually get always a cranberry juice. And what's a nice way to have it is, so you can always ask the person to serve it to you in a wine glass. So you feel like you're drinking wine with everybody else, but you're drinking the cranberry. And so you kind of, it doesn't feel so obvious that you're not drinking.
Totally. I always do that to people in a rocks glass with ginger ale, put a lime in it, make it look like they're having a drink too, and everyone will be like, wow, you can hold yourself together so well after all these drinks.
on a quick note, though, when I went to visit Tabitha, I flew in and she was working, and I was escorted by her then boyfriend, who showed me around the Drake while we were waiting for her to finish work. And in a two-hour period, I seemed to have drunk 11 scotches.
Not my fault.
No, it wasn't your fault. It just seemed to be every time my glass has been taken and another one was being put into my hand.
You just didn't say no. Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to say no. The glass was constantly there, but I managed to make it home.
You were very cute that night.
And then we had 3 hours sleep and went to Niagara Falls, and quite sober, which was amazing. But certainly it is, the Drake Hotel is a place where people do go and drink and merriment for sure. My actually producer, and I know we're going to get to this topic anyway, but she would actually like to know, what is a really good red wine to serve with a Christmas meal? And, you know, we are in Hanukkah as well, and so it's basically season as well. So, but a really good red wine to serve over this festive season.
I have a few, because as I look at my recycling box right now, I'm actually literally going in here because I have about four in here. I love wine at home. I always get, like, vintages, and I really love Old World. So big to go with meal, you'd think, like, Cabernets. Sometimes you want to go lighter with, like, a dark meat, you want to do a Pinot Noir. But I've got here the Penley Estate Phoenix Kunawarna Cabernet Sauvignon. That's Australian, and I also live in New World. And Boots Shiraz from Barossa Valley is amazing. And
what
the Cote de Rome.
Sorry, but I missed the name on that.
It's just called Boots. It's a New World. It's beautiful, and Australia is known for its Shiraz grapes, so it's got a bit of like black pepper into it, so it's really good with food. And then everyone could get this. It's an Old World Cote de Rhone. So everyone knows that. South of France, they're really famous for that. And it's called E. Guigal. And the 2009 is beautiful. And they're all about under $20 at the liquor store. So they're all beautiful with meals. And I always have, like, chocolate nearby to eat with my wine. And
yum, yum, yum.
Dark chocolate, yeah. So those are all bold and really beautiful ones. But Cabernets and Shirazes for sure. Sorry, I'm
right.
So my voice is raspy.
Sarah, you mentioned Hanukkah, and I wanted to share something because this is a season where people are eating their latkes or potato pancakes. And one of the things that I've had before I really love, and I'm going to experiment with this more, is latkes made from sweet potatoes. And what's so nice about this is that you can actually serve these as a side dish for your holiday meal. Sweet potatoes are very nutritious. So, you know, grating up the potato, mixing it up with egg and some flour, and I season mine with onion and nutmeg. And you just, you know, mix it up and then you fry them. And I fry mine in coconut oil. It adds just sort of this interesting sort of sweetness to it. People are like, these are different. So it's like sweet potatoes or latkes that are, you know, taken up a notch, and serving that in your holiday meal, whether you're celebrating Hanukkah or whether you're celebrating Christmas. You know, sweet potato potato pancakes is another way to sort of bring in something different to your holiday meal, and they're nutritious. They're more nutritious than regular potatoes. So another idea, just throw that out as a recipe.
No, we've got to throw, this is all about here. We, you know, the idea is we want people to go away feeling hungry. We want them to go away trying new, you know, new dishes and just something different out of the ordinary. You know, as I said at the top of the hour there, that, you know, I love hosting. I love having dinner parties. For me, when I do a dinner party, it's a two-day event. You know, there's the shopping. I like to set my ambiance the day before. I don't like to do all my prep work. I like to get as much done as possible. And, you know, depending on how many people you're having, whether it's a sit-down dinner. I mean, that's on my 16th birthday, there was two other people had the same birth date as me. And I did a sit-down, a five-course dinner for 12 people. And, you know, I have my mum to thank for that love of catering. You know, and my son now, Tabitha's brother, Tyler, is a caterer. And, you know, his passion comes out in his food. And so it's not about slapping food on the plate. It's about laying it down there in love, in gratitude, in that desire for people to taste it in the same way that you're presenting it. So the energy in which you're going to set your ambiance, to set your table and present your food, is the way that you wish people to devour it. So if you are a host or whether you are a guest this season, when you do take something, don't just shove it in your mouth. You know, really taste it. Seal, I think, and also, who was it? A very famous actress from the past. He will nibble his food and hold it in his mouth for a period of time before swallowing it, and will take a long time to eat his food because he believes in eating it slowly and devouring it. A, you digest it better, so it has much better, you know, breaking the enzymes down, et cetera, in your body. But also, he really does taste his food. And from there, you actually, you know, it's not just substance. It's It is that something that awakens you, those taste buds that awaken you, the texture of the food inside of you. Even when you drink a glass of wine, I like a full-bodied Shiraz. I actually never knew it was kind of the black pepper in the Shiraz that I'm drawn to because I love black pepper. And I like to have that wine holding in my mouth and have it, you know, having its own party, its own taste in there. A full-bodied wine that you really can taste and feel as it goes down. And it's the same with our food. So good conversation, great atmosphere, a great meal, and people taking the time to enjoy it.
Whoops. I'm sorry, my building's having an alarm thing testing right now.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
No, I'm sorry.
This is so funny. It kind of reminds me of my debut show with like planes going over and
I'm
everything
so sorry.
Else.
Did I hang up?
Okay, no, don't
stop,
worry.
For
no.
Now.
It's gone now. It's just the joys of life.
It might happen again.
Okay, that's all right. We've only got a few minutes left anyway. All right,
okay.
So we do only have a few minutes left. So everybody just, you know, a couple of minutes each. Give me, you know, what's the thing that you liked most about this season and what you like most to leave with people in the sense of drink or food or atmosphere or anything else? So Tabitha, just catch you first in case your alarms go off again.
Yeah. What I love the most about this season is just, yeah, again, being with friends and people and sharing all of this, like you said. And this season I drink a lot more red wine and scotch. That makes me very happy. And I make a lot of, like, rye or bourbon drinks or ones that warm the soul, like a nice mulled wine on a cold day is the best, which has also got a lot of flavors and herbs in it. It's super easy to make as well. I'm just going to quickly go over a recipe so you can make it at home because it's a great party favor to have and just on your own. Just get one bottle of red wine. It could be anything pretty much. Peel and slice an orange. Use a quarter cup of brandy and then about 8 to 10 cloves and a half cup of honey. And use some cinnamon sticks and a teaspoon of grated ginger. And it's so easy to throw that all together in a pot, medium heat, maybe 20 minutes, stir it. And then all of a sudden you have this beautiful mulled wine, which is almost like a soup. And it's beautiful. And then just garnish it with like apple or cinnamon stick. And it's really awesome. Same with like hot toddies are really good on cold days too. And also if you feel sick, it feels great.
Yes, it's actually a lovely smell to come into as well when you're coming into a party, that mulled wine in there.
The cloves come out.
Oh, absolutely. Now, of course, you're in Toronto, which is very cold, and I'm in Vancouver, which is very damp. So maybe just throw in a couple of drinks there quickly on for people that are actually living in Miami or California right now and enjoying the good weather, something that's still festive but light.
Okay, hold on. I'm just going through my book right now. Festive.
Well, that's where I'm calling from. I'm actually in California, and I have to say, I love what she suggested with the lemonade with the soda water, or, you know, and we do get some cooler evenings, and the cooler evenings, just, you know, a warm spiced cocoa or a hot lemon, you know, drink. Those two just, I love those. Anything that has sort of spritzer flavor, so I hope she's going to find something like that. Really, really delicious on the palate, and lively and festive. That's delicious.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, if you want lighter, that's more like summer, like mojitos and things like that. But
oh, yum. Yum.
Yeah, totally. Easy, like the fresh mint, but it's hard to get right now. But I have another lighter one that was actually published in a magazine, so it must be good. It's Hennessy Black Cognac, which is a bit lighter and less, like, it's a bit more subtle than usual cognac. And 1.5 ounces of that with 1 ounce of Drambuie liqueur, which is quite sweet, and 0.25 ounces of green chartreuse, which is herbal. It's like you could taste the garden in it. It's made in France, and there's like 120 botanicals and herbs in it. It's beautiful. And lemon juice, again, which makes it lighter. So it's like a really refreshing light drink, but a little hint of, like, herbs after. And you just grate some ginger and muddle that and shake it all together and strain it. And I use, like, a lemon zest and a candied ginger, and it's just, like, really light and really lovely. And so on a warm or cold day, it'd be nice to try. And it'll warm you up on the inside anyway, but tastes like you're drinking sunshine out of a glass if you're hot in Miami.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. That sounds so good.
Yeah, I know. It does. And actually, if I had both of you, I'm going to actually ask if you do me a favor. Would both of you actually write down the recipes that you have told us about here tonight? Because I'd like to post them for people.
Okay.
They're going to, you know, going to listen to the show, and I'll post it up on my site so people can, you know, come and pick up these recipes, because there's some delicious ones here, and it will be a really good guide for everybody. So if you wouldn't mind, you know, dropping me a line on those recipes so I can post it, I would absolutely love that. Tina Marie, have you got to kind of a final opinion there on the season?
My advice is to people is to just really lean into the pleasure of it. You know, we can get caught up in the frenetic parts, buying gifts and all that other
yes.
stuff. And I would say to people, that is all a new modern twist on a very important time of year, which is this is where we are supposed to gather closer to our loved ones and our families. The nights come in sooner. That's the time to snuggle. That's the time to enjoy the fireplace. It's the time to get yourself wrapped up in a warm blanket and be with your family, be with your partner. Enjoy the condensing and the solitude of the season, and try to avoid the frenetic sort of franticness of it. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, living into the seasons is also part of the work that I do with people, which is to be more in harmony with nature. So whatever you can do to embrace the message of winter, to revel in that connectivity to the cold and feel the warmth within, that's what I would say to people. Really just, you know, embrace this time of year for what it is, to snuggle and connect to your loved ones more closely. You know, summer's going to be here soon enough. You can throw off the clothes and go and, you know, go to the run to the beach. This is the time
right.
to do the opposite.
Right.
And if people, I will definitely share my recipes with you. May I also invite people to visit my website and learn more about the work I do there. May I have that opportunity?
Yes, please do. Please do.
So people can visit me at a few places. I will just direct them to my main website, which is my name, TinaMarieBernard.com. And they can sign up for my newsletter there. And this is the kind of stuff I put in my newsletters. And these kinds of recipes, they'll get those as well throughout the year, not just this seasonal winter time. But absolutely would love to share this with people. And I'd also share just living more pleasurably and transforming intimacy inspired by nature. That's what I'd love for them to do.
Well, that is wonderful. Well, I thank both of you ladies for coming on. Definitely, you know, writing this out, I'll post it with the shows, and it gives everybody a chance to kind of try something new. And, yes, it's bring out the sensuality of life, the love of living. You know, our taste buds dancing, you know, our auras vibrating, our eyes sparkling, our hearts pulsating, everything about life being embraced. So this is the time to do it. And so most certainly this is the time, folks, to just try something a little new, relax, be calm, and enjoy yourself, because when you're enjoying yourself, your guests will enjoy you. So thank you so much for Tina Marie for coming on. And
thank you so much for having
all
me.
What we have from Technicalities, and I look forward to having you on again in the future. And
absolutely.
Thank you very much for Tabitha for coming on, my darling. And
no worries.
It's very sad for me that I'm not going to be with you for Christmas. That's the trouble with you being so far away. But know that you're in our hearts and in our souls at Christmas, and most certainly our energy will be with you.
Likewise. So, I know. At least we had Thanksgiving. That was good.
We did. We had a wonderful time, too. Thank you so much, my darling. And please do write that and get it out to me as soon as possible.
I will
so
do so.
Wonderful. Thank you very,
nice
very
much.
Nice
to meet you, Tina Marie. Thank you. I'll take some of those recipes, too.
Nice to meet you. Those drinks sounded delicious.
Thank you. Merry Christmas,
okay.
ladies.
Yes,
thank
happy
you.
Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your season. Eat, drink, and be merry. Thank you very
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, next week is my last show of the year, and I'm just going to be talking, it's just going to be me, folks, and I'm going to be talking about a year in hindsight. It's been quite a year for me, a magnificent year, and the beginning of the year didn't look like it was going to be so, and what a difference a year makes. So next week, please join me on my perspective, but also on my predictions of what is coming for 2013. We're about to step into the most wonderful era. It is going to be a fabulous time
for embracing our heart, our soul, and our spirit. So I will hear from you, or you will hear from me next week, and I hope that you will join me. And for everybody right now, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and joyous season to you all. Thank you.
Good vibration of my soul and my spirit.